When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
So, like, I wish I would have asked him, for anybody listening right now, we're talking about the Nephilim episode, but I wish I would have asked him if he feels like he has unusual strength, you know? Because let me just put it this way. Let me just prime in here. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the last member episode of the year. Okay. And I have here Justin and Jay from Cryptids of the Corn. And I got Joel here from Free the Rabbits. And we're having just a fun end of the year conversation. This is going to go wherever it goes. But we just got done interviewing what might be a Nephilim here in studio. And Jay and Justin brought him down. They tied him up, threw him in the back of the van.
Mm-hmm. It was hard to do.
Yeah, you guys had something about magical bands or something that you had.
Cargo net.
Yeah. And we just got done talking with him, and it's about, 2.5 hour interview? And, you know, he has all these different stories stemming from his childhood of just this weird, almost like divine, not divine, that's the wrong word, but this weird relationship with nature where it's like him and nature are almost one. And, you know... but one thing I wish I would have asked him and I did think about, but I just kept on forgetting as his time, which is his strength. Like, does he have any claims of supernatural strength?
So he used to do construction. I remember he's told us stories about that. And he did it all by himself. Like he was talking about when his shoulder hurt. Mm-hmm. That was plywood. He just loaded a truckload of plywood by himself. Mm. I don't know if it's unnatural or if it's just, I really don't know about any stories about that. Yeah. That's the only thing I kind of think of him talking about doing.
Maybe there's a trade off too. Maybe he didn't have the super strength because he has the nature thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have seen him talk to birds.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen him talk to birds?
Like, he'll walk up and they won't fly away. He'll just sit there and talk to them and stuff like that. And he'll walk right past him and they just.
And we really didn't get into his photography. I mean, he's a big time photographer. It's what he does at all these conferences, selling his photography.
And they're amazing.
He gets the close ups of just animals, like birds in particular. Yeah. Amazing.
Owls and hawks, like you said, are a lot. But some of the pictures is one as a barred owl. It looks like it's a zoomed in photo. Mm-hmm. It's not. He's made of the wall.
Yeah.
Barred owl. And he would be like, all right, bud, thank you.
And then it flies away.
Walk away.
There's a lot of supernatural significance with owls too. And yeah. I found it interesting that he had a lot and still does have a lot of contact with owls. And not to say that I think owls are innately evil either, but I do think that certain animals just have a supernatural proclivity that other animals don't. And the Bigfoot stuff's pretty impressive. And we're not talking about once or twice he's seen Bigfoot. We're talking about 15, 16 times he's seen Bigfoot.
I mean,
that's insane to think about in your lifetime, to the point that it's just old hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw Bigfoot. We were hanging out and we were staring at each other for 2 minutes.
Yep. What? And he went on his way.
And you know, we all have shows and you have people on that you'll never be able to verify anything. But we've been to TJ's place. I've known people that have seen Bigfoot on TJ's place that I fully believe.
So you know other people who say they saw Bigfoot at TJ's place.
That and Bigfoot activity and stuff,
you
know, like that.
It's funny is that like these are kind of things that you would think it would come up in during a conversation, Justin.
He was talking.
I mean, I'm playing. I understand.
But no, I mean, you'll have to have him back on, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he went 2.5 hours solid. He'll just do another 2.5. Because we sat there all weekend in his cabin.
Just listening to him.
I mean, and he would point at something on the wall and be like, well, yeah, you know.
Tell you the history of it. And
it's like a museum. It really is. It's wall to wall. Just there's no square footage that doesn't have something on it.
Hmm.
Just history of the cabin. The family that lived there that owned it.
Or the county or local.
Because he said that all, like, the lady who owned the place, like, she left everything there, right? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, can you move over just a little bit?
Yeah.
There you go. Cool. Thank you. Just going to drive me nuts.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. OCD.
Don't yell at me.
No, it's okay. I'm not going to yell at you.
Make him sad.
I'm not going to yell at you. I'll move over too for you. There you go.
There you go.
Now we're really saying, glad you took the twinsies, hat off, by the way.
So everyone can see the skull.
I had to breathe.
So we got skullet guy here. We got twinsy boys here. With mm-hmm. I saw you wearing that shirt. I was like, I got to put mine on. So
there you go.
I brought that.
Buffalo plaid.
I was planning on wearing it later, but I put it on for this one.
It's the best color. Yeah. It's the best flannel.
Yeah. Why aren't you wearing a flannel?
I didn't bring it. Actually,
would you wear a skullet? Would you wear a skullet, Joel?
Nah.
You can grow it out.
Oh, red skullet.
Yeah, think about it.
That'd be amazing.
You know what? If I did, though, I would do it like Hulk Hogan. I'd
absolutely
do the full ring.
Absolutely.
And have like the flap all the way around.
Just think of the things you'd attract in the woods then.
Or draw in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They see that red flap in the woods flying around?
I think every red-haired Bigfoot would come running at that point, for sure.
Like, it's a good-looking man.
Right. I honestly feel like I'm going to have a Bigfoot experience at some point in my life. I might be like 60 or 70, but I think it's going to happen.
It may happen at TJ's. If you guys go like a week at TJ's and just sit there.
I mean, yeah. Like, yeah.
And he said, like, you know, he's had tons and tons of people out there. The people that have experienced things do what he says. You just sit there and you just talking, I'm not joking. The patio feels like almost like an amphitheater for you to observe. It's a super weird feeling because it's designed perfectly. And like he didn't build it. It just is the way it's situated. You have the hot tub and the sunroom and then the outdoor patio into this massive section of just Wayne National Forest forever.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody lives back there. And then like he was showing us where the orbs were dancing and there's cliffs and stuff. And he's like, yeah, just, you know, they just keep going off.
I think the fun part about it would be, one, he's cool with us doing it, and documentary, too. He doesn't go out there at dark anymore, which we would totally be doing. So we'd be out there
like
in the day.
Like,
and
I kind of want to camp out
night.
There.
Yeah, for sure.
Put
and
tent out there.
Well, this was another thing that Justin didn't bring up, by the way, when we were sitting there talking to him, and I had briefly thought about it. There is an area of those woods that he basically calls like the Fae area, where it's just like a Fae playground. Where
I think it's the portal area is where I personally feel. Like I said, 2.5 hours and never, you know.
Oh my gosh.
I just don't see how we're not doing a documentary at this dude's place.
It's the flat part of his property. think of it like a big pie slice. Mm-hmm. So at the front where the house is and the road is the widest, and it goes to a point, he still has, you know, he's on the top of a mountain. And so you can go down into this valley and stuff and continue up over the hill. But at the very back is where he said he's seen all the portals come out. It's where all the lights dance, or not the portals, sorry, the orbs.
I was going to say orbs. Like,
but they all situate right there and they'll come out. So he shared the one hot tub story. But he's like, he's watched them bounce over his patios and come up in the yard and just all that stuff. And after he started talking to them, they stopped coming in the house, the orbs. But when it's weird. I didn't even share my encounter there. It's the only adult encounter I've had.
Let's go.
So he welcomes you. He brings you out to the back porch and he talks to the house and he talks to the wood. And he's, you know, these are my friends, you know, if they want. So I said, I don't want anything. Don't bother me. And then Jay hadn't experienced anything like that. So TJ's like, you know, if you feel like it, show Jay something. And then Jay left me halfway through the weekend.
I forget why. I had something going on.
It was work, high school reunion.
You were scared?
That's what it was. I had a high school reunion.
He was scared.
I wasn't scared at all. He was mad I left because he got scared.
Because on the start of the weekend.
His hair was whispering to him, just leave, just leave.
Yeah.
The start of the weekend, the cabin was full. And by Saturday night, it was just me. So I was like, I don't want to be here. So the last night, and the cabin just, like I said, it feels like alive. Every time you're moving in there, the bathroom, I hated the bathroom because it feels, there's windows that, you know, like anything could be watching you.
Yeah.
And like the hoof prints and stuff like that outside. So one night they had hoof prints of Clydesdale outside of every window. So Clydesdale, really, really big horse, the pulling horses. And they were non-shoed. So just a, you know, wild horse, like hoof prints, no walk-ups, but every window, even the two-story windows, had one underneath it. So it looked like basically the devil from the Bible had walked around and looked into every window.
Were they bipedal?
Yeah, it was just two. It was like the front, just the hoof prints, two, like one, two, in front of the every window.
And that area is probably not the best for a big horse.
How tall are the windows?
Like the windows themselves. I'm not talking about two-story, but like how big
they're normal.
The windows?
I don't even know. Like normal like window foot? Size, yeah.
Okay.
You know, maybe 2 foot by 3 foot, something like that. They're not massive windows, but the whole back of the house is that glass sunroom. So when you're sitting in there, you're just looking into the forest. It's just, it feels like it's like in there with you.
It's nice.
So they're TJ and his girlfriend were downstairs and there's kind of bedrooms, kind of not, because the way it's decided, you know, it's like the two-story old style family house where it's open.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking to the house. It's the last night I'm there and I'm like, I don't want touched. I don't want messed with. And I had a lighter and I'm like, I'll burn it down. I will. I mean, you'll hear later today some of my encounters with my house when I grew up in. So I hate this stuff.
Mm.
I believe in it because I've experienced it. So I was telling the house that if you touch me, I'll just kill us all. I mean, I don't want to be here. So TJ gets up. And when I was saying that, you could just hear him laughing downstairs as I'm openly threatening the house. And I was dead serious. And he was laughing. And I'm like, TJ, I'll do it. You're by the door. I'll kill everybody.
He's like, better not.
He just goes stand outside. He's just no cares in the world. So the next morning he leaves because it's Mothman Festival in a booth. So I'm at 7 a.m. by myself. I finally showered. I was just so like, I'm just going to shower and I'm leaving. I'm going home. So I shower. Nothing happens. I go upstairs, pack my bag. As I'm going, and so the patio, like you said, is like 8 foot by like 6 foot, just a little tiny, like front door patio to leave. As I'm reaching for the door handle, it's all like one piece of wood. A giant rock thudded and rocked, like somebody like dropped it right in front of the door. Boom, rock. And I let go of the door handle. I sat down on the couch. I'm listening. I mean, massive rock, it sounded like. 15, 20 minutes pass. I don't hear anything else. I open the door and there's nothing there. There's no rock. There's nothing on the patio. There's not a big flower pot. There's not a rock to roll down the hill. There's nothing. Beeline to the car, leave. So I go and tell TJ because I go drive down to the Mothman Festival and say like, yeah, whatever's in your house got me right as I was leaving. And he's like, well, when I go home, I'll guarantee that welcome sign's on top of the hill. Because every time something's on that patio, it throws. And then when he went home, the welcome sign was thrown on the side of the hill again.
Hmm.
That's wild.
The house is alive. I don't know what's there. I think it's Faye, personally.
I don't think it's bad, though.
I think some of it is.
Some of it? Okay.
I just think wherever he's located is...
Justin's like, the skin demon? Are you kidding me? The look he gave you was like of utter disgust.
Well, I just think where it's located and the person who's living there, it's just creating this vortex.
I agree.
And the vortex is already there, but then you've got this guy who clearly has some sort of connection to the supernatural, probably from birth, and they all recognize it. Listen, guys, the first time he sees a Bigfoot type character, he just stared at each other for 2 minutes.
Right.
Like, what's up? Chilling. I mean, animals are just gravitating to him. You know, he's petting deer, guys, in the woods. They're just walking up to him.
I've seen it with the birds. Not just big birds, like little like cardinals and chickadees and everything. He'll walk up and he'll talk to him, take pictures, and he'll walk away and they'll never move. It's just, there is something about him.
He's hypnotizing.
I think they just know, like, he talks about.
Right.
He's not going to do anything to him. And there's just that connection he has. It's weird.
And I relate to that a lot because I have a lot of weird things that happen with animals and myself. Not to that level. I would love for that level to happen. Right. But still, there will be weird times where I may be in the woods or whatever and animals will just gravitate to me. Or like I said, the zoo, just anywhere. Animals that typically don't like people. Or I remember as a kid, so I used to play piano. My mom made me play piano for a long time, which is cool because I love music. So I used to go to this old lady's house in the mountains of Georgia and practice piano like twice a week or something like that. And there was this giant cat she had, hated everyone, would hiss, you know, older, probably about 10, 11 years old, but massive, like giant cat. First time I'm over there, I literally am using the cat as a pillow and sleeping on this cat. And the lady is in pure shock. She's like, he hates everyone. And he's just purring, letting me lay on him. And every time I came over there, he just runs to me. And she told my mom, she's like, this cat hates every single person. He won't even come out when people are playing piano and he runs when he comes in. So I've kind of always had that happen since I was a kid with animals. And I don't know if it's sometimes some sort of vibe you give off with animals that they know that you view them a little differently than other people do. Because some people just view them as like, oh, it's just an animal, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you start thinking about them having like feelings and they process things like we do to an extent, right? I think it operates a little differently. So, you know, maybe he's just in a whole nother wavelength too, because of his bloodline or whatever, that he's just in a whole nother sphere. The fact that you got Bigfoot walking out on him, like, hey, what's up, man? Probably trading gifts with him out in the woods. He's got a little gift stump.
I wouldn't go back there when we were there. I would not go back
there.
Oh,
I'll go.
Well, just personally, we were just there.
Tony will go.
Well, like I said, sure. He didn't tell us any. He just told us the Bigfoot stories. And then we get there and he's talking about skin demons and devils looking in the window.
Please, I want to see one so bad.
A skin demon? Yeah.
Okay. Why not?
Oh, well, so he didn't get into it a lot. But
reasons.
When he described the skin of it, like inside out, he was talking about it.
But did you listen to him tell the story? Like he was never scared of this thing. Yeah. He just said.
Because he's a Nephilim.
Yeah. I know. But that's the best part. They're also just acknowledging him and moving along. They're not even trying to do anything to him either.
Like, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Pass. But with us, they might be like, are you?
Yeah. We're food.
You look tasty.
Right. We're food.
Yum yums. That's what you are. You're a bunch of yum yums.
Oh, great. We got one of these ones.
The hoof thing is very interesting, though, because was it something massive or was it something that was flying and just sitting up on these window seals?
Jersey Devil.
Right.
Maybe it's like a Jersey Devil type thing.
It was huge. Yeah. I mean, 100%. It was weird. It was super weird when he described it. And that wasn't his fiance. It was his girlfriend at the time. So, you know, a couple of years. Well, he told us about it, but it was a couple of years past that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a horse. She's a horse person. And she was talking about, I mean, she had a frog and everything, which is a horse pick for like the feet. It's called a frog. But
thanks for clarifying that, because I literally thought I did not know that. Yeah. So,
because I picked one up in the house,
right?
And that's called a frog. And no, it's just because the part of the horse foot's called, anyways, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But so she's a horse professional. She works with horses as her profession. And she came out and she's like, it looks like a Clydesdale, but we're on top of a mountain and they're heavy. I mean, we're talking thousands of pounds. They're pole horses. So for it to just get on the top of the mountain and only leave tracks underneath the windows, you'd see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Clydesdale's moving through anything. They leave, just make big trails. I mean, they're the size of small rhinos.
You think these things are just peeking in on him? Like, yeah, we know what you are and we're just peeking in.
Just,
I think they're looking at his guests.
Yeah, they're checking in on their products. They're brewing Nephilim bloodline DNA stuff. And they're just like, oh, this one's turning out good.
The gray alien story, which I think it was Gray's, that thing, that light, that's very typical of abduction sequences. Even if you don't see the grays, it's that bright light and you see some figures and then all of a sudden you got some pokes and holes in you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that story. When he told that, I'm like, so what are they extracting? What are they trying to test? What have they already known about him that they're just checking back in on?
Mm-hmm. Oh, weren't you excited about the spider Bigfoot?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean,
I kept that such a secret.
He opens up with that and I'm just like, oh, gotta find this picture. Right, did it look like this? And he's like, yeah. I was like,
So the first time he described that to us, he was talking about just how uncomfortable it made him feel to watch it.
Really?
And he's just like, it shouldn't move like that, you know?
Yeah.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.